Good morning, brother. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath to the brethren on the web hookup. Hope everyone's having a great morning. Brethren, with all the recent sicknesses and the trials and the up and downs we've all been having lately, I've really began thinking and talking about prayer to others and how to maintain a relationship with God through prayer. When we pray for others, brethren, do we feel and believe that God can and will heal them? And if we have requested prayers from the brethren in the church, do we feel and believe that God will hear those prayers and help heal us? How far are we willing to push God in our prayer? And how effective can it be? Because we know in our Bibles, in Proverbs 15, verse 29, it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." But what do our prayers sound like to God, brother? That's my title today in my sermon. What do our prayers sound like to God? And as we go along, we're going to be looking at three things that our prayer should include. There's many more. A lot of us, I've walked out on a beautiful, crisp morning and heard a bird singing. Isn't it beautiful? Do we ever think why that bird is singing? And who's it singing to and what's it saying? Do we ever think that maybe those birds are singing praises to God? They might be thanking him for allowing them to sleep one more night and wake up in the morning. Do we do that? They might want to thank him and then go find that food he's made and provided for them. They don't even ask anything from him. They simply give God the glory. What about our prayers, brethren? What do they sound like to God? What should they sound like? Number one thing our prayers should include, brethren, our prayers should begin with and be full of praises to God. Thank him for everything, brethren. Thank him for that another day of life. We should bless God for what he's already provided for each one of us. In order to help our prayers have more praise and thanksgiving, let's talk a little about prayer today and how it can be a little more effective. Let's define that word prayer and explain the different types of prayer and find out where it came from and how can we have more effective prayer. Prayer comes from the Hebrew word tefillah, tefillah, and it means to speak to authority. Another Hebrew word, palal, means to fall down to the ground in the presence of one in authority to plead a case. Let's talk about falling down on our faces, the prostrate way, brethren, and pray a deep, intense, and emotional prayer. That means laying flat on your stomach and praying, brethren. It's a little different, isn't it? Well, brethren, when I had COVID back in March of this year, I prayed to God flat on my stomach. There was many a day that I couldn't even get out of bed. That's how I prayed. I cried out to him and asked him to either please help me or just let me die and take away that pain, that suffering from this horrible virus. I found this very interesting, brethren, as I talked to many others who have suffered through this horrible virus, other sicknesses like cancer, major headaches, or other severe sicknesses. They said they prayed the same, almost the same way. Please heal me, or just let me die, or just let me die. That's interesting, isn't it, brethren? Well, brethren, I felt it. I did feel all your prayers when I was there, and God does answer prayers, brethren. And I also felt that during that time I was closer to God than I've been in a long time. Due to the crying and praying out to him several times a day, others let me know the same thing. They felt the same way. It helped me build a stronger relationship with him and truly appreciated everything he'd done for me and given me. That's another definition of prayer, brethren, that it is an act that seeks to build a relationship with God. There are many prayers written out for us in the Bible. Prayers, how believers of God talk to him. It is how they make their praise and needs or requests known. Scriptures are filled with beautiful examples of people crying out to God and asking for his strength, his guidance, his healing, and more for others than themselves. That's our second point, brethren. We should be praying for others before ourselves. Brethren, that's outgoing love for others. Like Sal was saying, agape love. Prayer is one of the greatest tools that a Christian can have. Ever since Jesus Christ died for us on the cross for our sins, a direct line of communication between us and God has been opened up. That is why Christians are encouraged to pray continuously. Persistent prayer is an unbeatable force, brethren. And believing in prayers, that they can be answered. That's a very strong tool right there, brethren. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll look here now at how we are to pray without ceasing. We've read this many times, 1 Thessalonians 5:14-18. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-18. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak." It says, "Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." Verse 16 and 17, it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In verse 17, it says to pray without ceasing. Does that mean, brethren, a Christian must stay on their knees, saying prayers day and night? No, brethren. We wouldn't be able to work or live our lives, would we? The scripture is also translated to say, never stop praying. Another translation says, pray continuously. In other words, brethren, stay close to God all day. Many places in our Bible says that they prayed daily. And in Daniel 6, verse 10, it said that Daniel prayed 3 times a day, just as he always has done. Prayer is just not talking and asking God for things that others need and what we need. But prayer is also a weapon against our spiritual enemies and against temptation, too. Brethren, how honest and transparent are we with God when we pray? Do we talk freely and openly? Do we hold back? Do we feel like reasoning with God? And how can we move forward with Him in prayer? What if we were to draw the parallel and compare our life to the growth of an infant? We are to be learning and growing, all of us, brethren, in our spiritual lives, as well as our physical lives, aren't we? Moving stage to stage, a baby to a child, then a teenager, and then an adult, and then an older adult. It's the same with our spiritual lives and our relationship with God our Father. We've all moved from hearing the truth, coming into the church, then we become baptized members in the church, filled with God's Holy Spirit. And now we're looking forward to become a spirit being in the world tomorrow. Brethren, God is our Father, and He wants to be our Father. He also wants to be our helper and our friend. There are many examples in our Bible of people like Moses, Elijah, David. They were called friends of God. And there are very good reasons why they were called that. One important thing they all had in common was they prayed. And they talked to God like He was a friend, like He was right there beside of them, brethren. Face to face. They prayed. They reasoned with God because they were secure with Him. They recognized that God can be touched. He can be moved. And He can be reasoned with. Because they took the time to pray to God and talk to God on a daily basis. They had an ongoing friendship with God. And He recognized them in His Bible. Brethren, we can learn from them how to improve our relationship with God too. We can see how effective our prayer life will become. And how our relationship with God can grow during our spiritual growth. But let's talk about being up front with God. Being up front with God, what does that mean, brethren? Being up front with God. And what about our feelings that are hidden? How can we get those feelings out and open up to God? Sometimes there's pain and there's hurt from the past, isn't there? We need to get that out, brethren. Let God take care of it. Open up to God. Have we ever been angry with God and reacted in the wrong way? That can affect how we react to God and to others, can't it? We've all done this at one time or another, and we can learn not to do that. Because the real down, deep feelings a person has can be very trapped there. And they can hurt. There's always a reason, brother. Always a reason. Talk it out with God. Let's reason with God and see what's going on. Let Him know what's going on in your life. Get it out, brother. Reason with God. He wants to hear you. When you look at Moses, Elijah, and David, we can see their relationship. They put it all out to God. They laid it all on the line to God. They didn't hold back. And they drew closer and closer to God. Adam, he was a friend of God. And Moses reasoned with God four different times. About the children of Israel and their future. Isn't that interesting? Elijah was dealt with directly by God and talked to Him directly. That's in 1 Kings chapter 19. You can look that up. When he was in the wilderness and in the cave, Eli did complain to God too. He complained to God. Have you ever complained to God? However, in the end, he did what God told him to do. Then there's the example of David. When we talk about David, there's no other individual in the entire Bible that had so many emotions and human qualities that needed God's help. We all need God's help, don't we? I do. He told us how he felt about God. And he never made the same mistake or sin twice. He learned from his mistakes and repented of these. These four men that we talk about today, they prayed. They reasoned with God. They developed a closer relationship with God because of doing this. Let's look at our third point, brother. Our prayer should contain supplication. Our prayer should contain supplication. Come with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. We've read this many a time. Let's look at it a little different today, brother. Philippians 4, and let's read verse 6 and 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Are we praying to God, letting it all out there and letting Him know what's going on in our lives? Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." We can see from these verses that we are not just to pray, but we're to add another point to our prayers. We grow closer to God. We're to add supplication. That's a long and religious-sounding word, isn't it? Which really helps us by being a building block to help us build a closer relationship with God, brother. Ephesians 6. Come with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 here. Verse 18. We could read verse 17 and 19, but we'll read verse 18 here. We're cutting in the part of this chapter where the Apostle Paul is describing how we put on the whole armor of God and how prayer is a big part of a daily armor for a Christian. Ephesians 6, verse 18, I'll read this from the New International Version. And it says, "Pray in the Spirit for all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Paul says, praying always with supplication for the saints. Pray with supplication, pray for all the saints. Who are the saints, brethren? That is you. You are the saints. The Apostle Paul is putting it all together and answers the question about how to pray. Paul explains it how we are to pray, reasoning with God in a courteous way, not demanding are degrading in any way, brethren, in love. Pray to God in love. We could turn to Mark 11, verse 24. Mark 11, let's do that. Mark 11, verse 24. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, receive them, and you shall have them." There it is, brethren. God wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear what you want. We should never pray in a bitter or hostile attitude, but rather with a positive perspective and expecting an answer. Yes, brethren, expect an answer from your prayer. Verse 18 talks about supplication, and the definition of that word is a need. A need to ask humbly and earnestly and beseeching, almost agonizing. A very strong prayer. It means to use more energy from the human mind and body pointed toward God. Let Him know what you want. We all know David was a man after God's own heart. And we can read many places in our Bible because he prayed to God daily. He talked to God. He reached up into the heavens, and by that act he felt he drew him down to him, and he felt once again like he was right there, praying to him face to face. And we can see by David's examples in the Bible, he drew closer to God. By talking about and exposing the depths of his most inner being and his emotions and his attitude. He just let it all out to God. He didn't hold back. And God saw that and recognized David for his actions and emotions that he put into his prayer. David was childlike in his feelings and emotions, and he was very open to God and to others. Come with me to Psalms 130. Psalms 130. Here David is speaking to God, and we can tell by his words what kind of frame of mind he was in here. Psalms 130, and let's read verse 1 through 8. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be my attentive to the voice of my supplications. He's pleading to God to listen to him here. Verse 3, if you, Lord, shall mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more for those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Verse 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is an abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Brethren, we've read some examples of fervent prayer. Let's look at some examples now of very extreme, intense prayer and how that person was giving that prayer. Come with me to Deuteronomy 9. Deuteronomy 9. Verse 25 through 27, about Moses' prayer to God here. I'll be reading this from the New Living Translation. Deuteronomy 9, verse 25 through 27. This is why I threw myself down before the Lord for 40 days and nights. The Lord said, he will destroy you. And I prayed the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy them. They are your very own people. They are your very special possession, whom you redeemed from Egypt by your mighty power and by your mighty hands. Please overlook the stubbornness and the awful sin of these people, and remember instead your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here is Moses. He threw himself down on the ground before God and begged God not to kill the Israelites, after they had convinced Aaron to build that golden calf while he was up getting the Ten Commandments. Moses laid down and prayed. He also fasted for 40 nights, for 40 days and nights, to talk to God about not destroying the children that he had just released from Egypt. Let's look at another example of King David praying a prayer and lifting his hands up to get God's attention and a swift answer to his prayer. Sometimes, brethren, we can reach some very deep areas when we move from prayer to supplication in our spiritual life and prayer. And then we can move forward to have a special relationship with our Creator. We can then get rid of all our fears and our doubts, and work on the problems with God's help. Ask Him to help you. Psalms 28. Sometimes some things can change, brethren, when we put more of ourselves into our prayer. Psalms 28, verse 1 and 2, it says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you. when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. He says, when I lift up my hands, brethren, do we ever lift our hands during prayer? Or do we ever put our feelings into our prayer? I have many a time. David lifted up his hands toward God and did other gestures too. He was reaching up to the throne of God and asking, begging God to come down and hear his prayer and for his prayer to be lifted up to God also. Brethren, when we're in a stressful situation like David was, we can express ourselves to God in prayer and ask and tell God anything, can't we? It's just not a prayer life that will change and improve, brother. We might even change and improve how we talk and react to others. We may begin to love and respect each other more, just like Mr. Sal was talking about. And if we're being honest and open up, we can take away any of those walls that we have built up with others. There's lots of Psalms from David about praying or going through a hard trial. A lot of us are going through hard trials and sicknesses. Sometimes in the history of our lives within God's church, brethren, do we ever feel like we're at that valley? Standing at the edge of that Red Sea, and we can see the armies closing in behind us, and that sea, and that wall of water on both sides, and we have nowhere to go. What do we do? Where do we go, brother? Brother, we need to be going to God. Get on our knees. We need to be able to cry out to God with prayer and supplication. Tell him you love him. Please help me. Tell him with fervent prayer. Tell him that you are my salvation. You have promised that you will help and deliver me. Tell him. Sometimes, once again, we need to look down inside of ourselves and why we're really angry with God or someone else. We can't let bitterness get inside of us, brother. Or Satan can use that to take control of us, and we don't want that. He will destroy you. We don't need to be angry at God, because God knows everything what's going on already, even before we bring it to him. God knows everything. We can let God know how we feel, and we can get to know his heart more. We need to look at God as our creator, as our friend, who wants to hear from us every day. He wants to know how we're doing, brother. Have a conversation with him. Just not a regular prayer. Have a conversation with him. I've talked to many ones about that, and that's hard to do. We need to look at God who has created everything and sometimes moved by his creation. When we talk to him in a respectable way and tell him what we need, we're made in his image, brethren. And we are his creation. We're his children. He loves us very much and don't want to see us suffer, brethren. I found it interesting in Genesis 6, verse 6, the whole world became for his eyes, and God grieved. He was grieved because he had made all these human beings that turned away from him and were trying to destroy each other. God grieved, and he had to decide how to wipe out all human beings. He didn't want to do that. Except for the 8 family members of Noah that was saved in the ark. He feels for us very much in the people of the church. Especially when we're going through sorrows, trials, yes, and even losses. We're his children living in these end times. He wants us to survive and thrive. This is a special love and compassion that God has for us every day, brother. He wants us to become part of His family. God has promised. He's told us, brethren, in His plan. But, brethren, He's going to do things His way. In His time. And He will keep His word and do it, brethren. We just all need to be patient. We need to have patience with God. We can't expect everything immediately. Come with me to Luke 11. Luke 11. Verse 5 through 8 here. Luke 11. He used this story here about prayer. I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Luke 11, verse 5 through 8. He says, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanted to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you said to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit. I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family are in bed. I can't help you. Verse 8. But I tell you this, though he wouldn't do it for our friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. That same word that's used here says persistence. It means to do something in supplication. The scriptures are telling us, brethren, if we keep continually knocking at the door of God and praying about it with supplication, He will answer us and help us, brethren. But once again, we need to be patient. Brethren, we can see from all these scriptures that if we get close enough to God and ask Him on a regular basis, things like, Father, I need Your Holy Spirit. I cannot survive in this world without You. I need Your help. Can You help me? He wants to hear that, brother. Brother, we can see that there was other people in both the Old and New Testament who went through severe trials of their times also. Our Bible is full of lessons that we can learn from and show us what the eternal requires of us to become His sons and daughters in the world tomorrow. We can reach our ultimate human potential if we reach out to Him with prayer and supplication, brethren. And we can open our hearts to God and let what's deep in there out. He can change, brethren. He can change our relationship with God, and it can change our relationship with a lot of others. Our prayers will be like that bird singing that beautiful song, uplifting music to God. Hope everyone has a great rest of the Sabbath.